Well, good morning, everybody. I am glad to, you know, it's where two or three are gathered together, we are in the house of the Lord. But it's so nice for us to be able to gather here today in the fellowship hall and to have an overflow crowd right out here in the parking lot. I mean, God is good all the time. When did you think we would fill the fellowship hall and actually go out into the parking lot as well? So that is good. But wherever we are together, gathered together, God is there. And that's the important thing that we want to remember. And we're so thankful for the blessings of it. It's just such a beautiful day. And the wind's out there, and it's blowing. And we're going to leave the door open in case a person decides to migrate. Yeah, it might get blown in. And so, it is a beautiful day. And we're so thankful for it. And as we are getting started today, a couple of things that I want to address. One, at the very end of the service, we will do a voting. We've got ballots for deacon. And so we didn't announce the business meeting last Sunday, so we're announcing it this Sunday that it will be next Sunday. But we will do the voting at the end of the meeting, and then the results can be announced. And so flexibility, we are in that time where we are flexible, and so this is what we can do. And we're thankful we can do that. But the other thing I want to get at, two things. There's a very, very important event taking place this coming Saturday in Washington. And I'm just asking for persons to be in prayer. It's been called the Return. It's a prayer vigil in Washington, and it's basically a morning of prayer for our country. For what we're getting ready to do in terms of our next sermon series is we're talking about the great I Am. The great I Am is God. And we find in the Gospel of John that Jesus is also the great I Am as well. And so we're going to be looking at the name of God that we find in Exodus. I am who I am. What does that mean? And when we go to John and Jesus says things like, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the truth. What does that mean? And see, if we are a country that is founded on the basis of religious freedom, and if we are a country that is grounded under God and on Christian principles, then it's important that we know who God is. And that's what we're going to be doing for the next 8 or 9 weeks. Taking us right up into Thanksgiving, going into that. And today I want to give an overview of that. But you know, it's important that we as a country understand who God is. And are we a nation or a people that are still grounded in godly principles? And you see, we've been talking and talking and talking and talking about a great revival, a great awakening. Well, part of that is returning to God. You think back to the Israelite people. The northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians. The southern kingdom fell to the Babylonians. And in both instances, the people of God did what? They turned away. They turned away. So I ask today, are we a people that is still under God? Because here's what I know. Before the Assyrians came, and before the Babylonians came, God warned the people. He let the people know the importance to prepare, to turn around. And what did they do? They ignored it. They ignored it. So we as a people, God is letting us know. Are we going to stay a people grounded in God? And that's that call for us as Christians, to stand up, to proclaim, to be who we say we are. Because God gives warnings, but God gives windows of opportunity. Because here's what I know. And you know this verse just as well as I do. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear them from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We pray for healing. We pray for healing throughout this land. And I'm not getting political here. I'm being completely spiritual on this one. Are we a people of God? And are we going to show and demonstrate those fruits of the Spirit that we talked about last week and that I reminded the children about this week? Is that going to be who we are? Phil, time for some music. It's always a great time to be able to celebrate birthdays and to celebrate anniversaries. And Joanne, we know that you got one coming on Monday. And so I know that you are glad to be here to be able to celebrate another birthday and that you're on your own 2 feet. And there are times when we're extra special thankful for we can do. And so we wish you a happy birthday. We also know that Elizabeth Watkins has a birthday on Saturday, and so we shout out to her as well. I know that she and Henry have been listening to the CDs and stuff that have been sent out, and so we are thankful for that opportunity. And so, Elizabeth, we wish you a very, very happy birthday. We would wish Cheryl and Russell a happy anniversary, and I'm hoping they're doing something anniversary-related this morning, because today is their anniversary, and so we do wish them a happy anniversary with that as well. And so those are very, very important times. Also, we want to continue to remember in prayer Ann Williams, Juanita and Aubrey Vickers. Brandon, we continue to lift you up as well. Also, your friend Howard, do you have any update on how things are going for him? Okay, well, we'll continue to remember him as well. Also, Dolores Farrell, Steve Marlowe. Hope, is Steve any better? Dolores, how are things going for her? Okay, so she's trying to keep things moving. That's good. Any update on Emily Leeds? Okay. Children. Yeah. We do want to lift her up for strength because they're, you know, things are different, but God isn't. That's easy to say. We all know that. It's hard to let it sink in and know that God is there, particularly when there are things that are around us that just tear us apart. And I think it's in times like this that we realize just how fragile we are and that how much of life, we take everything so for granted, but it is a gift. It is a gift, and one that I think if we're frank and honest, we waste too much of it. Maybe we need to pause sometimes and just think, Lord, help me not to waste this day. It's a gift. And if it's someone that I need to be reaching out to, move me. That I will do that. Any updates on Ray Ensco? Anything? Mm-hmm. Kind of in hold mode. Spirit's good.
Yep.
See, that's. Very good. You know, I think about that. I think about William and other persons. We have choices. We really do, even in the midst of all of that kind of stuff. And may we all remember it when we're going through that kind of stuff, because in some way or another we go through those things, that we choose to keep going, that we choose to keep going. Because again, the preciousness of life and the preciousness of our surroundings. We don't have to look far to see just how things are going. And Susan, I'm assuming that Leanne is still doing well with the traveling with the ministry-related activities. And we want to continue to remember her as well. Any other persons we need to lift up today. Okay. But it's that thing of, well, yes, we are happy to mention Dorothy in prayer. Because here's one thing I know about each one of us in this room. We are aging. Every one of us. And I'm also learning something. And I think people can, well, most of you can relate to this. There are a couple of you in this room that will be able to relate to this in time. And I think back, I remember what I could do at 30. I remember what I could do at 40. I remember what I could do at 50. I remember what I was doing at 60. I notice I changed that a little bit. I remember what I was doing. And as I'm getting ready to approach 70 in a couple of years, I'm realizing that the things that I could do at 60, I can still do, but it takes a little more time. and with Dorothy, she's still doing, but some days get hard. And that is the way it is. And if we are all blessed with a long life, we ask that God will allow us to enjoy it and to be able to work with it and to also be surrounded by persons that can provide help. Because here's something that we probably don't like to admit. There are a lot of people that would help us if we would what? If we'd let them help. May we be willing and open to people helping us and let them help us. And so thank you for mentioning that, David. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, today we lift up each person that has been mentioned. We all live important lives. We are all your children, and you have given each one of us a purpose and a task and a meaning. And dear Lord, as we face each day and the challenges that they may have, we ask for your healing, we ask for your strength, and we ask for your presence. May we feel your presence. Dear Lord, we also pray for our country, as hopefully millions of people will come together this Saturday to pray for our land, to pray that you will still be at the center of all that we do. We ask your blessings upon our land. We ask for forgiveness of our sins. And we ask that we put you first in all that we do. Our Lord, we are so thankful for our blessings. We're thankful for the life that has been given to us, and we are thankful that we are your children. And dear Lord, in these coming weeks, help us to draw closer to you. Help us to know you better. Help us to know those experiences that we have, that you are there in the midst of them. Help us to know Jesus as the true vine, as the good shepherd, as the way, the truth, and the life. And dear Lord, may we be the light that our world needs right now. And may that light shine in our lives and be apparent to everyone we interact with. May they know there's something different about us. That there is love there. that there is mercy there, that there is kindness, patience, grace. These things we ask, dear Lord, in your name, amen. Great I Am. The great I Am. Today is going to be a little different. I want to tell a few stories about experiences that we have or have had or that we may know about that might help us understand who that great I Am is. And then, got a lot of pieces of paper. Y'all remember that? So you know what's going to happen. I want to go to scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And the reason for that is to let us know who God is. What has God said about himself? What has he revealed to us about who he is? And so we want to take a look at that and take care of that. And I'll also remember that there is grace that is coming here. David, you got a new twist on communion here. I may have to try this sometime and see if this actually works. But I wanted you to think about a couple of stories. I think stories are important. And you know, Jesus was a master storyteller. So here's a story. And I'm not promoting Spectrum on Demand, but I'll just tell you this is where you can find it. If you've never seen the movie Heaven is for Real, you can watch it for free. Just go to On Demand, download it. I've seen it twice. Carol and I were looking at some things. I said, I'd like to see that again. If you haven't seen the movie, I'm trying not to destroy it for you, but I just want to say some things. We have some young children in our church. We love them. We like to see how they run around and what all they do. Boy, what would it be like to see God through their eyes again? You know, we had them one time, but we grew older, didn't we? But what is it like to see through their eyes? And I'm thinking about this story of Heaven Is For Real is a story about a four-year-old kid. He went to the hospital for an appendectomy. He didn't die. He did not die. But he claims he visited heaven. Claims he saw Jesus. And it's so interesting that later on, you know, he was very, very sick. They had rushed him to the hospital. He recovered. But after that, he talked about seeing above everything. And he described some events that there's no way he should have known those. And nobody told him about it. And later on, his father, who was a minister, and this caused him to rethink his own faith as well. He says, I preach all the time, but do I believe what I'm preaching? And in that event, in that story, he saw Jesus. And so he asked, well, what is he like? His father started doing this research, and there's a young girl on the other side of the world, I think it was Japan. And she had drawn a picture again, and she was, you know, less than 10 years of age herself. This beautiful picture. He'd never seen this picture before. His father just asked him, who is this? What do you think he said? It's Jesus. He'd never seen that picture. He also told his dad, Pops has said you're going to be okay. So how do you know about Pops? I met him. He didn't know anything about his grandfather. He had died 30 years before he was what? Born. He didn't know him. And so he had an old picture. His father had an older picture. Is this Pops? Mm-mm. That's not him. Showed him a younger picture. That was him. That's who I talked to. The mother had had a child. The mother and the father, they lost a child in childbirth. They never named her. But it was a little girl. And he's talked about this little girl while he was in heaven. This little girl came up to her, to him, and hugged him and said, everything is okay. The parents weren't believing much until that story, because they had never told Colton about this child who they did not name. Because they asked her, what was the child's name? Said, the child didn't have a name. How would he know that? Coincidence? How would he know all of that? Let me tell you some other stories. How many of you remember Robert Barbie? I've mentioned this before. Carol's dad. He went out one morning. Ronnie had to do CPR on him. Brought him back. First words out of Robert Barbie's mouth is, why did you bring me back? It was so good. I'm not lying. Am I lying? No. I don't know what he saw, but what he saw, he knew what it was. I've told you before, my mother and Carol's mother, they did a lot together, particularly on vacations. And I've told you this story before. My mother died at 4:30 in the morning. We came back in Henderson. We came back to Durham about 8 o'clock to tell her mother. Before I could tell her, her mother told the two of us, had the strangest dream last night. Your mother was walking across a bridge. She turned around and she waved goodbye to me, and I woke up. I asked her one thing. What time was it? 4:25 in the morning. What time did my mother die? 4:25 in the morning. How do you explain that? How do you explain that? I think about Earlene Horton. I've told you this story too. She saw Jesus on a white horse, and he's coming back. She also said she was coming back for Carol, but she didn't mention me. So I got to do a whole lot of praying. But here's my point. How do you explain that? Why are you sitting here? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And I'm not trying to upset you. But it is a miracle. God is. God is real. And I'll tell you something else. You realize that we all like the fruits of the spirits, right? And we read Paul's letters. Well, you know, Paul was a murderer. But something happened to him on that Damascus road that turned his life completely around. And we don't think about Paul the murderer or the persecutor, do we? No. We think about 1 Corinthians 13, don't we? And the fruits of the Spirit and all of that. Or Samaritan woman. You know, the Jews, and Phil was talking about this the other week. The Jews didn't even want to travel through Samaria. They go all the way around it. Well, Jesus goes right through it. Goes to this well and he speaks to this woman. And the fact that a Jewish teacher was speaking to a woman was something in public was something that was odd to begin with. And it wasn't politically correct. But he did it anyway. And he's talking with her. And she's asking for water. Well, you didn't even bring a bucket. And she's talking about Jacob's well, which has been there for ages. Remember Jacob in the book of Genesis? Jacob's well. And Jesus says, I can give you living water. And she goes on and she says, well, who are you? And he asks her a question. He says, where's your husband? He was doing this to let her know who he was. Because, see, she had had 5 husbands and the person that she was with now she wasn't married to. And she says, you're different. How'd you know that? And so she says, I see that you're a prophet. Well, Jesus takes it a step further. In John 4, chapter 23, we have these verses. But an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship Him. God is spirit, And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. The critical word for the Samaritan woman was when. What's Jesus' message to her? It's right in front of you. Jesus told her, and notice this, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Face to face. Face to face. And notice the word, I am. I am he. The name for God that we will look at next week is I am. I am who I am. What I was wanting to do was just to give a series of experiences. How do you explain these experiences? You see what I'm getting at? God is always in our midst. Do we see God? Do we feel Christ's presence? So, let's begin with something, some scriptures. And bear with me, there's going to be a lot of scriptures here. But the reason for this is to show just why we want to study God's Word. So how does the Bible begin? In the what? In the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was what? Light. John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that was created. In him was life, and that life, now get this, was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness does not overcome it. We begin with light with God, and with Jesus we also begin with what? Light. 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 God's presence. When we talk about prayers for our lives, for persons that we know, for our country, we're asking that God shine light upon us that we may see as he sees and through his eyes. So, in the beginning, God is light. And Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount asks us to be what? The light of the world. The light of the world. Are we? David Jeremiah recently wrote a book called The God You Never Knew. I want to share with you a couple of characteristics and a couple of scriptures. First, God is to be worshipped. God doesn't hide from us. We might hide from God, but God doesn't hide from us. So listen, if you would, for a moment, to Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. The wise person should not boast in his wisdom. The strong should not boast in his strength. The wealthy should not boast in his wealth. But the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Do we know God? That I am the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things. This is the Lord's declaration. God is telling us who he what? Is in those verses. Or, what about God's faithfulness? As an old hymn that we have, great is thy what? Faithfulness. We know that hymn. We know it by heart. Well, let's take a look at 1 Samuel. I got these things marked, but it is going to take me time to get to it, particularly when the pages stick together. But 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 2. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. God is holy. He is also faithful. Lamentations. What's a lamentation? A lament. It's a cry. It's a cry. It's crying out to the Lord. Jeremiah is known as the wailing prophet, and he's also known as the one associated with Lamentations. And so let's look at Lamentations 3, 23 and 24. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. The hymnists knew that, didn't they? When they wrote that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. There it is. So God is faithful. He is holy. He is to be worshipped. God is also eternal. Always with us. So Deuteronomy chapter 33. Verses 26 through 27. There is none like God who rides the heavens to your aid, the clouds in his majesty. The God of old is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. David, what you were really asking for in that prayer is those everlasting arms. To be with Dorothy, your mother. Those everlasting arms. We all want those everlasting arms. God gives them to us. He embraces us with them. God is our source of strength. I'll have to go back and preach on this passage one day. This is one of the very first sermons that I ever did a long time ago. Actually, I was preaching it as a trial sermon from a group from Bragtown who were looking for a minister of education, and this is what they heard at that time. But when I think of this passage, I also think the song, many of you know this song, On Eagle's Wings. Beautiful song. Great song. Great song. So in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, God's telling Isaiah this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men may stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord," and that's where we are as a country, as a people. But to those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary, and they will walk and not become faint. Is that real? See, we forget that. We forget all of this. But God has told us plainly in His Word who He is. We also know that God is all powerful. So let's go back to Jeremiah and look at Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. The gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under these heavens. In other words, what's eternal? What are the things that last? He made the earth by His power, established the world by His wisdom, and spread out the heavens by His understanding. God did this. This is who God is, all powerful. Now, the seminarians and those of you like Phil and I have had that additional instruction. Fancy word for that is omnipotent. But the bottom line is, God is all powerful. Powerful. He's also omniscient, which is another big word, meaning all-knowing and good. Here's what Isaiah has to share with us about God's omniscience, His all-knowing and His goodness. And again, as I read this, think about where we are as a people. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Aren't we living in a time where everything is being redefined? Yeah, I've talked to you about truthiness before. Truthiness is a new word. It's a postmodern word, meaning truth. What is truthful is what you define to be true. So your truth and my truth are both okay, because your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. Now, the unfortunate thing is, if we really disagree on that, we might get into an argument, might we? So, I mean, you know, there's... Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I bet you didn't know that was in there. Woe to those who consider themselves wise and judge themselves clever. Sometimes we think we're slick, don't we? God is all-knowing, and God is good. And God rules over the earth. God is sovereign. So let's go to 1 Chronicles. Now notice, I'm bouncing all over the place here. That's on purpose, because God is all through what? The Bible. That's the whole point. Here's diversity. Okay? 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 12. Then David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. David said, "May you be blessed, Lord God of our father Israel, from eternity to eternity. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty, for everything in the heavens and on the earth belong to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all." In our prayers, for everyone we mentioned today, we were praying for strength and healing, were we not? We were asking for strength and healing for all of us to face the challenges of each day that is set before us. God is sovereign. And God is ever present, even when we don't feel God's presence. The Psalms have brought millions of people comfort over the last thousands of years. So from Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, you are there. If I live in the eastern horizon or settle in the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. Do we realize that God's holding on to us? Why? Because those arms are what? Everlasting arms. And it's all through Scripture. All through the Old Testament. And then what about God's love? Let's double back. Take a look at Exodus. And we'll be going to Exodus next week to look at the name of God. Let's look at Exodus 34, 5 through 7. The Lord came down in a cloud, stood with him there. Now that's Moses, stood with Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. Now notice the word is slow. That means when we've been warned about something, we got time. But it's on the burner. Slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth. Maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. You see, the Old Testament tells us who God is. Next week we will study Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, where God gives Moses his name, I am who I am. And we'll delve into what that I am means. But what I wanted to do today was give you an overview of who God is. God is I am. And Jesus is the great I am. There are 7 statements in John. I'm just going to mention these to you, and we're going to take these one at a time, one a week. The first one will be, I am the bread of life. Interesting, isn't it? Because bread is something that's a staple that we need for nourishment. But we're talking about nourishment from which there's no end. So in John chapter 6, verses 28 through 35, Jesus tells us that he is, I am the bread of life. See, I am is what precedes each one of these statements. Then in John 8, 12 through 30, I am the light of the world. Then in John 10, verses 1 through 10, I am the door or the gate. Now, what's interesting about a door or a gate? If you want to get inside, what do you have to do? You have to open it. If we really want to experience God, if we really want to experience Jesus, we've got to open what? The gate. We have to open our gates. And we have to let people know, be willing to open the gate. Remember, Jesus in Revelation says, I stand at the door and what? Knock. How many of us ignore it when somebody's knocking at the door? And sometimes it's really legitimate because if you don't know who it is, you're afraid. Well, if you don't know who Jesus is, you might be afraid too, right? So that's the point. John 10:11-18, I am the good shepherd. John 11:17-27, I am the resurrection and the life. John 4:6. Now, this is not politically correct in today's world. But Jesus said it, and I believe it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then John 15:1-6. You know, Jesus always liked to use gardening expressions, and so Joanne, you can help me out on this one. In John 15:1-6, I am the true vine. Not every vine is a good vine, is it? No. Pilate's famous question, what is truth? When he was looking at truth in the face. Wow. Think about that one. Pilate's asking the question of truth. And truth is staring him in the face. How many times have we had that experience that Pilate had and didn't know it? How often is the truth staring us in the face? How often is God looking right at us? That Jesus is in our presence, but we can't see it? God, help us to see who you are. For you have told us in your scriptures who you are. Help us to know who you are. So, if you're far from God today, know God is the great I am. Know Jesus is the great I am. Open the door to your heart. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, wherever you are hearing this, let him in. Accept him. Confess your sins. Open your heart and seek out fellowship with those who are furthering his kingdom. If you want to renew your commitment, you can do this today right where you are. May we be that light that this world needs. The truth is there. The life is there. The way is there. Are we willing to take it? So as we leave here today, and we enter our mission fields, remember that God loves us. Always will, always has. This is how we concluded our children's story this morning. Letting the children know that God loves them. Always has and always will. We need to be reminded of that as well. And then we need to remember one more thing. I've mentioned this verse many times, but I keep mentioning it because you can't mention it enough, because if you hear it enough, when a situation comes up, hopefully it will what? Come to mind and will be meaningful in that experience and in that event. And here is the word. And I know how you know how to complete this. Jesus Christ is the same when yesterday, today, and forever. And all God's people said, Amen.